All right. Thank you for being here. We just want to get into this word and we want to enjoy it, be serious about it, respond to it, go out and live it. And that's it all together. And I went through a long, long, long time ago when you had to be just so serious and everything, you couldn't smile, couldn't laugh, and for whatever you do, don't make too many jokes. And that just like to drove me crazy, and I didn't realize for years that it was not for me. That was not my style. I was taught that style in seminary, but that was not my style. And I'm saying all this to say to you as the title of this message is Through Jesus, and I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Am I getting some echo, or is it just me? I am? You hear a little bit of echo? Bring it in? Is that better? Okay. Yeah, I forget, and this thing's got to be real close. But anyway, what I'm sharing with you is, it took me a long time to realize that even though I was taught this is the way it's supposed to be, and this is how you act and behave, and this is part of the message today. And it's a familiar text, and it wasn't that long ago that I had a message out of this, but it's just a different message. And I worked away from this, and it's like the Lord, you know, when the Lord's working on you, don't deny Him. Don't try to rationalize with God. Sometimes I catch myself doing that, and it's like, hey, it wasn't that long ago that I brought your word out of this text. It's like, so? Do it again. Somebody didn't get it. Do it a different way. And do it till we get it. It's like, okay. You know, and that's the way. And for all of us, listen, I'm sharing this with you to say this, and we'll hit some of this in here in the passage. If you're not comfortable in the shoes you're wearing, maybe it's time to really change shoes. I wasn't comfortable in the way that I had been trained to do ministry and didn't know why. It was because I was wearing the wrong shoes. My character, my gifting, the way God cut me out to do what I'm doing here was not suitable for standing behind a big old large pulpit in a suit and all that. And I did that for years, not understanding why I was so miserable and uncomfortable. And I share that with you to say, if you're going to really experience Christ, then let go of what you've been told is the thing to do and start doing what God says is the thing to do. Everybody with me? There's a big difference. A lot of times we're living Christianity according to what somebody else or some church or denomination, whatever, our environment, how we grew up, school, how they told us to live and act and behave. But what matters is what God says. And finally, the Lord got through to me after years and years and years of doing it a way that was taught. And I'm not knocking that. It just wasn't for me. It wasn't my style. It wasn't who I was meant to be. And I didn't fully get it until I left the ministry and was out there in the wilderness of my life. And that's when God began to really break me down and rebuild and say, let go of all that stuff. Quit being what other people have told you to be and be who I gifted you to be. So that's why you see me up here doing what I'm doing, acting like I'm acting, the way the presentation of messages. And I'll tell you one thing that was not taught in seminary where I went to. I went to Southwestern Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth and graduated from there, graduated from Southern Baptist Seminary and then from American Baptist. And I've been back and forth Southern Baptist again and been all over the place. And so, but I can guarantee you one thing that was not taught in pastoral, you know, preaching classes, sitting on a stool. You're supposed to stand behind a lectern or a platform, a pulpit, where only this much of you is visible and be above, because you're supposed to set the example and show that you... And it's like, what a load of bull. I've been in class with you people. I know what you're like. And you get up there and try to make people think that there's a place that you ascend to that's above other humanity. And then what the Lord in my own work and ministry began to say, was show me was, you're not to be above people when you bring this. You're to be one of the people bringing the message saying, if God can do this through me, he can sure do it through you. You know, and so I found my place there. And you know what the most significant part of my journey in that was just honesty. Be honest with God. Be honest with everybody sitting out here. Tell you, share my own weaknesses, which those of you who've been here a while with me know, if I've done something, I'll tell you. And I'll just say it. Because, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm any more than I'm a man called of God to do a specific job. But you're men and women called of God to do your jobs. If you want to put it that way, your ministry calling, we all have men. We're all ministers. So having said that, all this comes through Jesus. And so just be honest, be real. Don't be trying to be something you're not, or try to make people think you're this or that. I don't want anybody to think anything, but there he is, and he's a miracle of God. You know, there's a walking miracle, and we're all walking miracles. So let's read this passage, and as soon as I start reading it, you're going to say, well, it wasn't that many months ago that we were in here, or weeks or whatever. It doesn't matter. This is where the Lord said, do it again. So whoever didn't get it the first time, would you please listen today? So we can not do this for a while. So we're going into Colossians 1, verse 19 through 23. But it's important we get this. For God, this is a New Living Translation I'm using on this one. I know I use the New International a lot and all that, but today the New Living again. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. God made peace with everything in heaven on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Everybody good there? And this includes you and me, who are once far away from God. We were his enemies, separated from him by our evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, God has reconciled us to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought us into his own presence. And friends, grab this part. We're going to hit on it in a moment. It's the central, sort of the central focus of the message. But as a result of all this, of what God has done, it says, you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I don't think there's not many, if anyone, in this room right now this morning that doesn't feel like they have a bunch of faults. And you know you do, and yet God is saying you are standing before God without a single fault. That's in his eyes, not ours. This is how much he's done for us. So I titled this, Through Jesus. So let me just work through some of these. Can't get all these principles. Please read what's before this and what's after this to get the whole message. Now, there's no way, and I say this over and over and over, there's no way I can give you all of the scriptures, everything pertaining to what needs to be said. It's not enough time up here, which we all know. And sometimes I use more time than I need to because, this is when I've got, just one time I've got you here this week. And during the week, and to bring this word and make it effective. But you need to read before and after on this one especially. So through Jesus, number one, we have peace. We have peace with God. Jesus is our reconciliation. It says it a couple of different places. Through Christ, verse 20, God reconciled everything to himself, all of us through Christ. And it says now, in verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ, his physical body. So we have peace. We have peace with God. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So peace and reconciliation go together. Let's talk about this peace just for a moment. Through Christ, and only through Christ, is peace. I remember way back when, and during the horrible days of the Vietnam War, and all of the riots, and I mean, you know, I say riots and the protesting and all the peace, you know, peace, everything, and the peace symbol and all that. And, you know, and it was, those were radical moves. But, you know, guess what? This won't happen. This won't happen. This was the V for victory in World War II, and then they took it to mean peace. You can have victory, but that doesn't mean you have peace. United States, England, France, Soviet Union at the time, an ally, you know, and others fought together, you know, and the Allies defeated the Axis and, you know, all the, you know, the Nazis and so forth, and boy, you know, peace. And then what do we do? That in 1945, you know, we sign all this stuff, and then in the early 1950s, we're in Korea. And before the 1950s end, see, unbeknownst to a lot of American public, our special forces were in, John F. Kennedy had already been organized special force, but we had, before them, we had special ops groups, guerrilla fighters, if you want to call them that, they were training the South Vietnamese in the late 50s. And when Kennedy was assassinated, we had troops over there training the South Vietnamese. You just need to know this. What I'm saying is there's no peace. Where's peace? And then we went into that conflict, if you want to call it a conflict. And we moved from there to where? Now, you know, we've been in everywhere. And during the times in between where we were with Somalia, we were places you don't want to know about. And on it went. And then we're in Iraq and then Afghanistan. And it just, so this thing, it's non-existent. It's a false symbol. There can be victory, but we've not had peace. So the only peace you're ever going to have, and because Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, especially in the last days, and it'll get worse and worse. So this is not, it's non-existent. It's just a symbol that has no meaning. But there is a peace that Christ gives that even though this is not happening outwardly, this is happening in here. And the whole world can be falling apart around you, but if you have Christ in the way that He wants to possess you, your body is His temple, your heart is His abode, you know, your mind is His place to be creative in you, to give Him your heart and your soul, your spirit, your mind, your will, emotion, your whole body, everything from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, to give it to Jesus Christ as His temple. Then you can have peace. The Scripture says, though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are slain around me, what? I won't fear. I have no fear. God, because I have God and my Jesus in my heart. I have God in my heart. I have peace even if they're dying all around me. Friends, that's where God wants you to be. If you listen to what, whoever, pick them, CNN, Fox, whoever, you know, whatever your station is. My goodness, it's just one non-peace thing after another. And if you sit, and there's some people sit glued to that stuff. Give me some more. Give me some more. I like depression. I like, but it really, I mean, I ask people, you know, who tell me, man, I've just got to watch that, and I watch it every night. What are you getting from that? What is it feeding? What if you let God have the same time in your life that you're letting those news stations? And this is not be critical. But it's a question to be asked. What if we let God have the time that we give to the news? What if we got into this news, the good news, and let the Holy Spirit, the broadcaster, give us the truth? What would happen? Would it change the world? Would it change society? Yeah. What do you think? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. And I know that's why God gets, you know, like today, it's brought me back to this, is to say, all of me was in Christ Jesus. You know, and when we have Christ, we have everything that God is. Let me insert something here. This was written, the Holy Spirit moving through Paul wrote this. Do you know what he was writing to counter The Greek philosophy at the time, Greek teaching, was that you could not be, there was no way that you could be, or Jesus could be, fully God and yet fully human at the same time. And they were misleading people with this thought. It was a huge Greek philosophical thought, if you want to call it that, or maybe, you know, what theology they had, was that there's no way that could happen. And so Paul was writing in the power of the Holy Spirit to say, yes, God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And what he was doing was saying, well, you got it wrong, guys. All you smart, educated Greek philosophers out there, you've got it wrong. Because God was fully in Christ, and yet he let Christ be human. And so when you see Jesus Christ, get this, this is significant. When you see Jesus in the Scriptures, and you see him at work, you see him teaching, you see him healing people, you see him doing whatever he does, what you're seeing is God doing that because he's fully God, yet in a human body. The Greeks were screaming, can't be done. Isn't it amazing how people like that will scream, it can't be done? And my question to these, to any so-called science or educated people is, how do you know? Well, if you can't prove it, and I've had people say this to me, and said, I'm a scientist, and if you can't prove it, then I don't believe it. And it's like three-fourths of what you guys believe you can't prove. What are you talking about? It just got to be scientifically proven. You can't, you tell me all about these black holes and all this stuff, and you say because you saw then this, and I say to any of them, have you been through one? You name something up there, a phenomenon that you can't understand. Maybe it is a black hole, but do you know that for sure? How do you know? You've proven it? So you got your own little spaceship and zipped up there and said, I'm looking at the black hole. And until you do that, zip it. Really, seriously, really, don't be impressed with this stuff. We see these things, and you say, are you knocking science? No. I'm saying that so many people who knock God yet want me to believe in their crud, you know, and it's like you can't prove any of this stuff. You know, for instance, you know, evolution, right? I don't know what everybody's thoughts are, but here's the deal. We've never found the missing link. It's still called a theory, but we teach it as fact in our schools. We don't know that. But we do know that, don't we? As a Christian, I know that there was not evolution. As a Christian, I know that God decided one day to create a garden called the, you know, Garden of Eden. And in that garden, he formed man out and woman. What? He formed man out of dust and he took a rib out of this poor guy. I'll take your rib and I'm going to make a woman. Well, that's what the Bible says, and everybody that believes in Jesus Christ is going to have to finally sit down and say, okay, am I going to be Darwinian? Because if I am and say we came from monkeys, I've just denied the first part of the Bible, and if I start denying that, then what keeps me from denying the rest of the Bible? So the whole point is, Christian people, family of God, either believe or don't. There's no rationale with God. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And I'm not here debating something. I'm simply saying, you know, through Christ I have peace. I'm not going to have peace if I'm trying to mix my Christianity with the ways of the world. Do I believe I was created from a monkey? Most of my family would probably say, yes, absolutely. What do I know? I know I was created from dust. And one of the things that helps me to understand that I was created from something earthly is I see how earthly I can become in a moment. Don't you? Monkeys, listen to me. Monkeys oftentimes show more brains than most people do. Seriously. It's unbelievable, and I'm talking about myself too, how we can just say and do things and we just sit there. Don't you do that? you've done it recently, and you just sit there and saying, what was I thinking? A monkey in a tree knows better than this. I didn't come from a monkey. They're smarter than I am in a lot of things. Monkeys stay in trees most of the time to stay above all the dangers. We walk right into them. You ever thought about it? Most people don't even try to stay out of danger. They just go right to it. We have to be made out of dust. Now, I'm not trying to prove some point. I'm simply saying, if you want to have peace in your heart, then make up your mind. Is what God says in here true? Or do I need some other scientific thing to prove it? Some other medical thing to prove whatever? Or am I just going to take God at His word and stand on it? Well, I'm taking God on His word and standing on it and encouraging you to do that so you can have peace in your... You'll never have peace if you're divided in your heart. That's the whole point of this. Now, He was fully human and fully God, and I like that. Because I get to see God in a human body, you know what that tells me? He experienced everything I experienced, every frustration. And I was thinking, you know, you get to thinking, well, He didn't have to experience I-10. No, but He had to experience not getting run over by a chariot. I guess there's no difference. It's all relative, right? If you're living back then, a chariot's just as big as a truck to you. And the charioteers did the same thing. They owned the road, right? They were acting like millennials back then. Get off the road. It's all about me. Nothing new. The scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. Think about it. So here it is. Through Jesus we have peace. He knows and feels everything we know and feel. Get this. He knows and feels everything we know and feel. Why? Because He's been there, done that. Let me hit you with this. Do you think Jesus was ever tempted in the flesh? It says He was tempted as we are, yet He did not sin. What does that mean? Sure, there was some good-looking gals came around, and there was that, you know, and you had to know, listen to me, not trying to take this somewhere, just simply, people are drawn to people in power. Just like people with money. So they're going to be, and he saw that, yet He did not sin. He didn't let His mind go there. Why? Because He's fully God. So when you're having trouble with temptation like that, I want you to, you know, remember, God wants you to remember, so He knows how to help you. He's been there. If you're having trouble with drinking or you have trouble with something else, God's been there. Jesus has washed them. I mean, the first miracle He ever created was at a wedding. He made wine out of water. And He saw some people that had gone way too far. He knows how to deliver you. He knows what you need. Every time you hurt, Jesus hurts. When you rejoice, Jesus rejoices. When you're in doubt, Jesus, He's not in doubt, but He hears your doubt and He knows why you're in doubt. And when you have fear, when you have anxiety, you know, am I having anxiety? Are you kidding? You know, there was a time when I was supposed to stand up behind a pulpit and oh, the Lord's got this. I just put myself in the Lord's hands. I have no fear. What a bunch of garbage. I look back on some of that, it's like you lying outfit. The truth is, it's like right now I'm bringing this message today and shutting out. I am pretty much shutting out all the rest of it. But this is the fifth time they've tried to get this tumor out. And am I worried about it? Are you kidding? I have to go to God over and over. God, stop this worry. Take this anxiety out of here. God, help me right now. You know, I even prayed, you know, for the message. God, get me through this now because I'm closing in on this time and I got to start a bunch of stuff tomorrow and get off your this and that and do that. And it's like, who cannot be concerned? And yet at the same time, I'm up here this morning because Jesus Christ knows what I'm feeling. Do I believe that just a man or men or women are going to be there in that operating room doing what they're doing? No. I know that God is guiding every single thought and every single hand. Okay? And you've got to know that. It's not just for me, it's for all of us. And that's where the peace comes from. Peace is not a lack of being concerned or anxiety. It's when you can stand strong in the Spirit, in your heart, and know that no matter what I feel as a human, the God part of me, the Holy Spirit that's in me, is strong and steady, and it's going to be okay. And that's where the peace is. That's where the peace is. It drives me nuts when people act like, oh, I'm just fine, whatever. Oh, it's like you lying outfit. Get away from me. Why don't you just tell me you're worried to death, you know? And anyway, you get the idea. So, and then we have reconciliation. And then it says, through Jesus we are reconciled. Christ is our reconciliation. Look, we all know this. This is basic, but yet it's important to keep in mind. We were sinners. We're born sinners. So we're separated from God. It says we were enemies of God because of sin. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And he dies on the cross and he sheds his blood. He rises again the third day. And he said, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody will open the door, I'll come in. I'll sup with him. I'll be intimate. I'll stay at your table, the table of your heart. I'll clean up your house for you. He's the reconciler. Here's God. Here's you and me. And we don't have a way to get to God. And God will not tolerate that sin. So what do? Jesus said, I'll come in the middle. Let's spread the arms of that cross. Right? And I'll be the branch. I'll be the bridge crossing from man to God. And everybody puts their faith in me now is reconciled. When they were enemies, we've come to the peace table. And we made peace through Jesus Christ. We signed a peace treaty with him saying, I am now yours, Lord Jesus. And when I belong to Jesus, then God says, then I accept you fully and completely. Done. There it is, reconciliation. There's a lot of big theological definitions and terms. And golly, we've made the scripture so hard to understand. And Jesus meant it to be simple. Through reconciliation, what do we have? Peace. We have peace, reconciliation, working together. Let me hit this third one. Through Jesus we have peace. Through Jesus we have reconciliation. And through Jesus we stand in God's presence. That's what it says. Yet now he's reconciled himself to the death of Christ, his physical body. And as a result, God has brought us into his own presence. Does it ever bug you right here? How God brings you into his presence holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault? Did anybody get to church this morning without a single fault? If you did, I'm glad for you. I mean it. I didn't. That drive out there makes me nuts. And we laugh about it and kid about it, but it's become a really tedious thing. And a bit on my nerves more than normal. And anyway, so, you know, I mean, how many days can you go through without a single fault? Did anybody cuss? Don't raise a hand. Did anybody cuss this last week? Say any four-letter word? Oh, well, there's an honest lady. Thank you, ma'am. I hit, okay, hands going up. Okay, we can be confessional. yeah, did you say four-letter words to somebody or something? Or did you go around muttering when you hung up the phone? Anybody wish to run over anyone this week? Anyway, you get the idea. We don't feel, see, the point we're having playing with this is the point we're making is this. Just because, listen to me. Just because I don't feel holy and I don't feel blameless, I don't feel without a single fault, just because I don't feel it doesn't mean it isn't true. There's a time to not trust your feelings, but to trust what God says in his word. Is there very often that I really can tell you that as a pastor of this church, been pastoring a lot of years, as we all know, and is there any length of time that I've really ever felt really holy and blameless and without a single fault? No. Does that mean that I'm not that way? Just because I don't feel it? Everybody with me? That old enemy in your own heart will mess with your feelings. But if God says you're holy and blameless and standing before Him without a single fault, that's exactly the way you are, whether you feel it or not. I keep telling folks in marital work, you know, don't wait till you feel to do what you need to do. If you start doing, the feeling will come. Too many people wait till they feel something to show affection, to show love, to reach out. Do it because it's the God thing to do. Do it because that honors Jesus Christ. And as you begin to do these things more and more, the feelings will come. One of the big traps we fall into consistently is, I'm praying for God to give me the feeling. I've had them say this, people say this a lot, but when it comes, you know, we've been married all these years, and I'm just asking God to renew that love. And it's, why don't you practice as if you have it? Why don't you do the things God says in His Word, whether you feel it or not, and see what happens? You'll begin to feel it. So, the one you've heard before, I'll say it to you again. It's true. It is easier to act your way into a new way of feeling than to feel your way into a new way of acting. And that's a fact. And in Christianity, we are required, called of God, to do things that are holy, that holy and blameless people without fault are supposed to do, whether we feel that way or not. We do it because it honors God. And that's all that matters. So through Jesus we have peace, and through Jesus we have reconciliation, and through Jesus we stand in God's presence. That's what He says. And then let's look at this holy and blameless without fault, and I've got to close with this. So we're ready? When I stand in God's presence, it says, I'm holy. And that word literally means, and that phrase here is this: I'm set apart to God and in God through Christ. Holy. So it says I'm holy. What does that mean? I'm set apart to God. I am, and in God. I am set apart to God and in God through Christ. How's that happen? Through His blood. When God looks at you and me, He doesn't see that sinful person. He sees the person that's covered in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that was so significant in the Old Testament when the death angel passed over that one of the last big huge plague in Egypt, and they said, and they were commanded to take the blood, remember that Moses told, take the blood of the lamb and put it on your doorpost, and every doorpost of the Israelis that has that blood, the death angel will pass them by, they will be saved this night. That was a typology of the blood of Christ. That was a foreshadowing of what was to come. And the same thing is true now. Bringing from that early, early experience, the blood on that doorpost, now the blood of Jesus has been applied to the doorpost of your heart, and the death angel passes over, judgment passes over, punishment passes over, and the love and grace of God is transmitted to us because the blood of the Lamb is on the doorpost of our heart. That's where it is. Now that part there is worth coming for, okay? We all need to hear that. No matter how unworthy we feel and how obnoxious we've been, or just how much we've really just fallen on, and I mean really hit on our bottom this week, fell on our face, that's where it counts, and that's what makes us holy. We're set apart in and through God, and it's through Christ, through His blood. We can only be holy by having the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in our heart. And it says we're blameless. I want you to know, personally, I struggle with that. I'm not blameless. Anybody here blameless? I may blame people, but I'm not blameless. And I won't try to get, you know, listen, I'm going to try to get real personal here, but you know, in my work, when I do outside of this, I see a lot of people. Some of you, many of you, people from everywhere. And they just sit down, we do pastoral work, but this one right here, you know what I hear most of the time, 90%+ of the time? No matter who sits down and starts talking to me, it's their fault. His fault. Her fault. It's never their fault. And it finally comes around to the point to where if you don't accept responsibility for your own actions, Jesus Christ is never going to be allowed to help you in your heart. You can blame people the rest of your life, and you'll never be happy. You'll never have peace. You'll never experience the Lord in His fullness. Anybody that's ever been through a broken relationship, it's just human nature to put the blame all on the other person. I told someone here not long ago, they asked, and I said, well, you get up and do all this, and are you able to live up to it? And it's like, are you kidding? God didn't call me up here because I live up to all this. I am what? I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still, some of this stuff I bring, I go home thinking, now, how am I going to do that? I haven't even accomplished all this. But don't you see? It's our responsibility to bring this and do everything to let God live in through us so that we're living according to the Word. But we're to do everything we can to bring that Word to people, to live the best we can. We're a work in progress. We're not going to be complete and perfected till what? Till He calls us up and we get a whole new body. Is everybody with me? And this blameless thing, my goodness. It's like, am I blameless? You know, we've all blamed people. Every broken marriage, each other's blaming each other. And you know, you have to get down the nitty-gritty and you have to ask some things. I want you to know, I don't have the time to ramble, but I'll share a couple of things because it's important. And I've had many a person say, I can't believe that they stepped out on me. And this is not true in every case, but I want to say something. Let me get this off my chest. This is a soapbox. It's for when I want to go into my little personal opinion. Okay? One of the things that is so hard to do, and I have to do it in the work that I do, is confront with this. What do you think caused him or her to start looking somewhere else in the first place? And let's get down to the real nitty-gritty of it. If you quit meeting him or her at the door when they come home, and I don't have to say the rest, do I? You fill in the word. And fill in their ear with every grouch and gripe and every bad thing and quit criticizing them all the time and quit reminding them of what they did 20 years ago, maybe they wouldn't have stepped out in the first place. So if you'd learn to yield your heart to God and be a submissive person to Jesus Christ, you just might have won that person over. Instead, you wanted to act like a wretch and then you tell everybody in the world, well, they just stepped out on me. Well, my God, who wouldn't? Okay, I'm through. Seriously, it's so easy to blame everybody else instead of looking at ourselves and say, if I was, and I told someone here just recently, not here, thank God, they wouldn't be here today, but I had to tell another person, I said, you know, if you were in this instance, it was a lady, I said, if you were the woman you were supposed to be, he could have probably been the man he was supposed to be. And quit blaming him for what he did because you helped him do it. You say, you mean you do that? Yes, I will. And if they don't come back to see me, I don't care. I'm here to speak the truth in love. But by golly, you know, it's time to start taking personal responsibility. And I've had a lot of guys just sitting there and telling me, oh, she was this and that and that. And I said, okay, guys, I don't want to get you on the hook, but here it is. You know, one of the things I ask is, since sounds so, I know, silly to most of us, but one of the things I ask, did you bring her flowers very often?
Well,
women love those things.
Well, she never asked for them.
Well, good God, if she had to ask for them, then it wouldn't mean anything to her. Really? Did you do anything to make her feel loved? Did you ever ask her what she wanted? Where you want to go?
Well, I did on her birthday.
Oh, dear God, save us all. You know, it's when you do the unexpected things. Anyway, this is all for free. There's no charge for this, by the way. Everybody, you hearing me now? You got to do those things. And I've had ladies to say, oh, he didn't need to do that for me, or I don't need those little candies or whatever. And yet, when they get them, they just feel so warm and smiley. The price of a bundle of carnations, I just checked this so I could speak this today, at one place was $3.98 for the whole bundle. Guys, I think you can hack it. And now, it doesn't have to be all roses. You can limited budget or something. That's fine. But something. And just on some basis. Don't be like the one person who, and I mentioned this before, but it's happened. It really happened. Said, I don't like those. I like this kind of flower. You know what the guy told me? She'll never get another one. And I said, wouldn't for me either. You know? I may not like the candy, but I sure better thank the one who brought it. Everybody with me? Okay, I got to close. I just threw all this in. I got that out of my system. I feel so much better. I hope you do. So anyway, holy, set apart, blameless. We're going to wrap. Here it is. When you go before the judge, a judge right here on this earth, and there's a case against you, and the evidence is presented, but the judge, the jury, whatever, the verdict comes back and the judge says you're not guilty. You're done. You're acquitted. When a person is declared not guilty, they walk out of that courtroom and there's no case against them. That's it. You're free as everybody else. Except in this case, we come before God and we're guilty. We've committed adultery. We've committed fornication. Jesus said, if you think it in your heart, you're guilty of it. So that knocks most people down. We've committed murder. Because I mean, at one time or another, have you really wanted to see somebody gone? We've committed all kinds of things, and we lie. We've cheated. We've stolen. We put things in our bodies we knew God didn't want us to put in there. We've done things with other people. We've hurt people. Anyway, the list goes on. And we come before God, and all this comes out here, and it's written, and we're absolutely guilty, and the verdict is guilty. That's it. You're done. You're going to hell, and you deserve it. All of us. And then Jesus just stands up. That's what he's done. God in the flesh. And says, I'll pay the price. I'll die for him. You deserve crucifixion. I'll take it. You deserve death. I'll take it. You deserve condemnation. I'll take it. You mean you'll step in here and this person has committed this and you've done nothing and you're willing for this. You really? Yep. And while I'm hanging on the cross, I'm going to remind the whole world, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I'll even go that far. And then I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to still intercede for before my Father in heaven. And so what happens? God strikes the gavel and says, well, okay. You're guilty. You're condemned. You're sinless. You're perfect. But you're taking this on, so it's all yours. And you, guilty person, are now acquitted. You walk free as if you'd never sinned. That's what it's about. You never committed the crime. As far as the law is concerned, You're not guilty. You didn't do anything. He is. And that's exactly what happened on that cross. That's why we're here today. That's what this is all about. And that's what this reconciliation, this holiness, blameless, that's how I'm blameless. He took that away from me. My record is expunged. I don't have anything before God. Oh, I sin. We all sin. But we're covered under the blood of Jesus. You can't be tried again. Even in our court of law, you can't be tried twice for the same. So that's it. And every time I sin, and God, I sinned. I thought something bad. I did this. I did that. Whatever it is. And Jesus is saying, Father, forgive him. Forgive him. They're forgiven. I cleanse in the blood of the Lamb. It's done. That's what it means. He is interceding for us right now. That's how come I'm blameless. Wow. And without fault, I have no blame. I have nothing. God declares us not guilty. We're not guilty. There is no but. Listen, when God says you're not guilty, it's not like the judge hitting the gavel saying, I declare you not guilty. But, you commit one more infraction, blah, 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 blah. That's not what God does. When God strikes the gavel and says not guilty, it's not guilty. There's no but, if, and, or anything. It's done. You get down in the dumps, you start feeling sorry for yourself, you look at some of your mess ups in life, friends, stop and think about it, you know, before you get too far along and how life's mistreating you, and you better remember this passage and call it back and let it be in your heart. I am holy and blameless and without fault because of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing for me in my life. Amen. Yeah, I got to let you go home. Wow, okay, it's time to go home. Did I say closing? I'm closing, I really am. There's just this one thing, it said, if you continue to believe. That's not in here, but it is in verse 23. Continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. All he's asking you to do is don't mix God and the world. Just continue to believe this. Hang on to it. Stay in the faith. He said, Jesus has done all this. You're holy, blameless. You know, you don't have any reproach. This is what some passages read, some versions. You're faultless. So don't get all mixed up in some, don't get yourself in some theological program or some other whatever that teaches something differently than this. What I've given you is not from a seminary. It's not from some church doctrine. You see it right there on the page, and that's all you get. And I'm committed to that. That's one of the things God did in rebuilding me is you're no longer a Baptist pastor. You're my pastor. You're my under-shepherd. And you just bring the Word and let the Holy Spirit put it in the heart like it needs to be. And that's what's happening here. So you walk out of here, and you're holy, and you're blameless, and God says there's no fault in you because Jesus took it all on the cross. I forgive you, my friends. I know how you are. You're made from the dust, but you have eternal life with me. So go out here on this earth and enjoy being who I've made you to be, okay? Oh, Father, God, you know, bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Lift up your countenance upon us. Look upon us, Lord. Lord, give us peace. We love you, God. Thank you for doing this. God, lead us from here and keep your word alive and powerful through your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for being here this morning.